Welcome to Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of your life. This program is brought to you by Hidden with Christ Ministries of Tustin, California. Now, here's Rita with Keys to Victorious Christian Living.
Hello, friends. Today I want to speak with you about the issue of purity. We live in the middle of a very impure world. How do you stay pure? How do you encourage your children to love purity and be revolted by things that are impure, immoral, and contaminated by the things of the world? That's what we want to discuss today. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we find these words. Furthermore, brethren, we beg and admonish you in the Lord Jesus Christ that you follow the instructions which you learn from us about how you ought to walk so as to please and gratify God, as indeed you are doing, and that you do even more so and more abundantly. For you know what charges and precepts we gave you on the authority and by the inspiration of the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, that you should be consecrated, separated, and set apart for pure and holy living, that you should abstain and shrink from all sexual vice, that each of you should know how to possess, control, and manage his own body in consecration, purity, separated from things profane and honor, not to be used in the passion of lust like the heathen who are ignorant of the true God and have no knowledge of his will, that no man transgress and defraud his brother. For God has not called us to impurity, but to consecration, to dedicate ourselves to the most thorough purity. Therefore, whoever disregards, sets aside, and rejects this, disregards not man, but God, whose very spirit, whom he gives to you, is holy, chaste, pure. That was from the Amplified Translation. I want to read it to you again, and if you'll listen very carefully, this is from the J.B. Phillips translation, and I believe it says this so beautifully. To sum up, my brothers, we beg and pray you by the Lord Jesus that as you have learned from us the way of life that pleases God, you may continue in it, as indeed you are doing, and deepen your experience of it. You will remember the instructions we gave you then in the name of the Lord Jesus. God's plan is to make you holy, and that means a clean cut with sexual immorality. Every one of you should learn to control his body, keeping it pure and treating it with respect, and never allowing it to fall victim to lust, as do pagans with no knowledge of God. You cannot break this rule without cheating and exploiting your fellow man. Indeed, God will punish all who do offend in this matter, as we have plainly told you and warned you. The calling of God is not to impurity, but to the most thorough purity. And anyone who makes light of this matter is not making light of a man's ruling, but of God's command. It is not for nothing that the Spirit of God gives us, that the Spirit God gives us is called the Holy Spirit. This is a great exhortation from the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians, but to the Church of God, to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. And he says here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that the calling of God is not to impurity, which is what we see throughout the world today, but a most thorough purity. And anybody who makes light of this matter is not making light of man's ruling, but of God's command. God commands us to live a life that is pure in his eyes. We live in a world that is very defiled, and defilement means simply contamination, uncleanness, something tainted with the things of godlessness. And we see the evidence of this impurity everywhere we turn, whether it's in billboards that are up along the highways that have sexual overtones or sexual themes in their attempt to attract people to the product that they're trying to advertise, or whether it is on the sitcoms in a weeknight on your television set. No matter where you turn, you see the input of worldliness and of impurity. And it has become so pervasive in our culture that many people, including many Christians, are very unmoved by this continued barrage of sexual themes. And when I say unmoved, I mean this. The Spirit of God is very grieved when people exploit the beautiful creation of God, the human body, the gift of sexual beauty that God intended to be in the context of a marriage relationship. When this is perverted, when this is used for wickedness, for wicked purposes, when it's exploited and turned all upside down, the world has done this so well and uses it to make money, God is very grieved. He's so grieved. He gave the gift of sex to the human race as a blessing, as a example of the beauty of intimacy that God Himself wants to have with His creation. He loves you and He wants to have an intimate, precious, sweet, close, loving relationship with you. And the marriage relationship is an example or a type of what God wants to have with us. And yet the world has perverted this so tremendously. And God is grieved by this. But what is grievous to me is that many Christians have become so numb to this that they're no longer grieved when they see immorality on the television screen or the movie screen. They're not grieved at how this so violates the heart of God and the Word of God and the commandment of God. They're not grieved. It doesn't even move them any longer. And we know from the Scripture that sin will cause your heart to harden, but it will also sear your conscience. In other words, what previously would have pricked your conscience, the sight of sin or the suggestion of sin or the thought of sin would have pricked your conscience with a pang of, this is so grievous to God, this isn't right, no longer grieves or pricks the conscience, because the conscience of so many Christians has been seared, and there's no longer a response that would be a God response in them when they look upon things that are sinful. We live in that kind of a day, my friend, and yet God hasn't changed His commandments. He hasn't changed His call to us. And this scripture that says that the call of God is to purity, not to impurity, has not changed. Though these words were written so long ago, we live in a day when it is more applicable than ever. The Word of God is so alive and it is so today. This was written in a day when there was no pornography in written form. There was no pornography in visual pictures because there was no still photography. There was no video. There was no television, no movies. And yet, the Scripture said that God hasn't called us to impurity, but to a most thorough purity. And it applies now so perfectly. And so I want to talk to you today, how do you stay pure in an impure world? I would suggest to you that staying pure in an impure world will be based very definitely upon decisions that you make every single day of your life, decision whether you're going to agree with God and His standard or whether you're going to agree with the world. So your purity level will definitely be determined by decisions you make every single day. Will you agree with God or will you agree with the world? Several things that I'll bring to your attention that the Scripture speaks to us of will help you with your decisions every day. There are several decisions that if you'll make every day to agree with God on the subject, it will keep you away from the impurity and the contamination and the uncleanness that is so pervasive in our culture. Psalm 101, verse 3, which was written by King David, the psalmist, it is believed. In this scripture, it says that David said that he made a covenant with his eyes. In other words, he made a promise with his own eyes that he was not going to put any wicked thing in front of his eyes. He would not. Now, King David knew what he was talking about. He had gotten himself in big trouble by allowing himself to look at Bathsheba while she was bathing on the roof of a nearby home, which he saw from the roof of his palace. He did not stop himself when he saw her. He continued to gaze at her until he got to the point where he made a decision to go and have her called to him. And she was the wife of another man. And it was adultery for him to look at her and to have sexual intercourse with her, which he did. And it was the beginning of great trouble in King David's life. It brought horrible consequences to him. So much so that he was plagued the rest of his life with trouble from his own family. His own sons rose up and tried to take the kingdom away from him and many other problems that occurred as a direct result. And it was a judgment that came upon his life because of the sin with Bathsheba. But it started with a decision to gaze or look upon this unclothed woman. And this is the same decision that you and I have to make every single day. Will we allow wicked, unclean things in front of our eyes? We are given the opportunity to do that every day. We have to decide every day that we're going to agree with God's standard, with the heart of God, and protect our purity level by doing this. But many Christians, many people in the world never even think about that. They don't think about turning off certain things on the television, which are clearly violations of the commandment of God. The Lord says that you're not to commit adultery. And Jesus said, even a person who lusts in his heart, not committing the physical act, but lusts in his heart, has committed adultery. So Jesus took the standard and cranked it up. He didn't say just the physical act of having sex with a married person that isn't your spouse or having sexual relations outside of your marriage relationship is adultery. He said, if you even lust in your heart after somebody else, you're committing adultery. So Jesus' standard is what we must consider in every area of our lives. So you have to decide, are you going to agree with God and protect your purity by making that covenant with your eyes that you're not going to put an impure thing in front of your eyes, according to Psalm 101, verse 3? And you know, it doesn't only include movies and videos. How about the internet chat rooms that people go to? They may not be looking at pictures in those chat rooms, but a lot of people are having conversations on there that are very wicked. They are on subjects that are very unclean, defiling. What about novels or romance novels? There are many Christians that are hooked on romance novels, and they say, well, I don't look at pornography. I would never look at a pornographic magazine or a pornographic movie, but they will read romance novels, and romance novels will simply fill your heart, your spirit, your mind with unclean thoughts. You know, all of these particular influences of the world will bring uncleanness into your own spirit, into your own heart, into your mind. It'll give you a serious battle with your thought life. It will create great problems just by the decisions that you make about what you put in front of your eyes. God has called us not to impurity, but to a most thorough purity. Another area that the scripture is very clear is that Philippians 4:8 tells us what we are to think about. It gives us directions about our thought life. And it says, whatever things are pure, think on these things. So the obvious is that it means don't think on things that are impure, but whatever things are true. You know, it's not true when you look at a movie and all the players are perfect looking. No one is perfect. Their physical body, they have portrayed husbands, wives, girlfriends with perfect bodies. There's no perfection in this world. There may be people who have very high standard of beauty as far as the world looks at beauty, and yet there's no perfection. There's not even truth there. So the scripture says whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, if there be any virtue, think on these things. This is what God wants you to put your thoughts on. And yet the opposite becomes true if you've been a person that has been continually putting in front of your eyes movies, TV, and videos, etc., and internet sites that are filled with sensuous or sexual themes or messages. It'll be very hard for you to keep your thought life pure if you've allowed those images in front of your mind. Now, God is able to cleanse the memories, to cleanse your thought life. If you repent and ask God, turn from it and say, God, with your help, I am turning away from this. I ask you to cleanse me. The scripture tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and then to cleanse us, to wash you clean from all unrighteousness. But you have to make the decision to repent, which means to change the way you think and turn and go the other way and agree with God instead of agreeing with the world. Every time you allow yourself to watch television, movies, and other things that have these sexual overtones and maybe just blatant sexual themes about immorality and adultery and it's all its forms, you've decided to agree with the world, that there's nothing wrong with that. And you may say, oh no, we rent videos, but we fast forward through the bad parts. I've heard Christians say this. Do you realize that the spirit behind that video that you had to fast forward through the bad parts is still pervasive throughout that video? That spirit of worldliness, uncleanness, sexual immorality is still on that thing, and you're taking in the input from that. Even if you fast-forwarded through the parts you thought were most objectionable, you are still taking into your spirit the thoughts and the theme and the idea of that there's not a problem with immorality because you'll take part of what they say. That's a deception, my friend. I encourage you. You need to be more discerning about what you put in front of your eyes. God says, keep impure things away from your eyes, and then it will be easier to guard your thought life. It'll be easier to think on what is pure and lovely and what is true. And let me tell you this also about your thought life. You cannot allow yourself to fantasize about sexual encounters with other people, even if you're a single person. Don't fantasize about what your honeymoon will be like with this person or that person. You're setting yourself up to stumble in sin by doing that. So be very, very watchful about your thought life. Fantasizing is absolutely a sin in God's eyes. Whatever things are pure, think on these things. Let me address for a few moments the idea of how do you encourage your children, if you're parents, to stay pure in an impure world. We live in a day when sexual immorality among teenagers is at an all-time high, when unwed pregnancy of teenagers is at an all-time high, when the abortion rate among teenagers is an absolute national tragedy. How do you encourage your children to stay pure in an impure world? Well, there have been many suggestions and many very good programs that have come forth encouraging young people to maintain their purity, their chastity, to save themselves for marriage through abstinence. And let me just read you a little story that was written in a book called Raising Kids Who Turn Out Right. And this gentleman who's the author told this story about a couple that he knew. And he said about this couple that they had decided that they wanted to encourage their three daughters to live a pure life, to maintain their purity, sexual purity, until they were married. And so he told this story. Just about the time their oldest daughter, Shelley, blossomed into a beautiful young woman, they decided to do something memorable to help her maintain her courage. it was easy for them to develop a plan because they knew what character traits they were trying to encourage. They took some of their own gold jewelry and they had the jeweler form it into a key, strung the key on a chain and made it into a necklace. They washed their car, dry cleaned Jerry's suit, and bought a simple corsage. Then Jerry, the father, took his daughter out on her first adult date. They enjoyed an elegant dinner in one of their town's finest restaurants. During the meal, Jerry talked to Shelley about the courage she would need to stay morally pure. When dessert was served, Jerry took out the gift-wrapped jewelry box containing the necklace. But before she put it on, he told her its significance. The gold symbolized her purity, and the key symbolized the key to her heart. She was to wear it as a reminder of the moral purity that God wanted her to bring to her honeymoon bed. Every time she went out on a date, and any time she might be tempted to compromise her purity, this gold key around her neck was to remind her of God's view of marriage. Then, on the night of her honeymoon, she could take it off and give it to her husband. With it, she could let him know that she had preserved her purity as a gift for him. Now, this is a very beautiful, touching story of parents who so desire to raise their children up to maintain purity in an impure world. But let me say this to you. Parents, you cannot expect your children to pursue and hold on to their purity when you allow impure influences into your home. You cannot give them a purity ring and say, oh, God doesn't want you to be sexually involved with anyone until you're married, when you will still bring in videos into your home, magazines, things that have an impure elements and have an impure message in them, and bring them into your home and expect that your children will still pursue this. You have to maintain an environment of purity in your own home. When my son, our only child, was a very, very young, I had cried out to the Lord, oh God, you must give us wisdom how to raise this child. How do you raise a John the Baptist? And the Lord gave me this scripture in the book of Luke. And in Luke chapter 1, it told the story in just a few words of the parents of John the Baptist. And the Lord showed me what the key was in their lives. And it's very beautiful, and it's found in Luke 1 verses 5 and 6. And it says this, and these words jumped off the page because it was the answer to my cry, oh God, how do you raise a John the Baptist in the middle of a wicked world? In the days when Herod was king of Judea, there was a certain priest whose name was Zechariah, of the daily service of Abia, and his wife also was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And here were the words that just permeated my heart. And they both were righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. Parents, if you want to raise your children to maintain and to pursue and to love, maintaining a pure life, keeping their purity until marriage, and keeping their purity after marriage, maintaining a respect for the marriage bed and the way that God looks at marriage, you will have to be righteous in the sight of God yourself. Walk a holy life yourself. The scripture says they walked blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. God wants you, parents, to walk before your children a holy life, a pure life. Don't be one that allows impure influences into your home and then sits down and says, oh, don't be impure in your life. Maintain a purity. How can you do that? How will you support them in keeping a pure thought life if you have impure influences in the form of videos or movies or whatever in your house? You will be bringing in the very spirit you don't want them to be bound by. So I want to encourage you today. God wants you to make a decision in your life today to agree with God that purity is God's way, instead of agreeing with the world that says sensuality and sexuality is something to be pursued. It's something to be sought after, and it's something that you need. That's all the time we have. I want to encourage you, pursue purity in the power of God, and have a victorious week.
Thanks for joining us today for Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. If you would like to support this ministry, please write to us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. That's P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. Visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you may order tapes or submit a prayer request. Or call us at toll-free 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, thanks for joining us for Keys to Victorious Christian Living.